Our scripture this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Colossians. I'll be reading from the third chapter, verses 12 through 17. If you'd like to follow along, you can find it on page 201, the New Testament of the Pew Bible. Listen to God's word. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion and kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom and with gratitude in your hearts in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father, through him. This is the word of God for you, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Gracious God, thank you for the incredible privilege of gathering in this sanctuary to worship you today. It's a privilege we should not take for granted. We know that there are Christians in other parts of the world who can't do what we can do this morning. So we thank you for the privilege of gathering here. We thank you for the privilege of hearing your word read. We thank you for lifting our voices in song, and we thank you for the music. We thank you for it all, Lord. And we ask in this moment you will pour out your Holy Spirit upon us. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and quicken our hearts. Transform us by the power of your grace, so that we will indeed be the people that you've called us to be. We ask this in Christ our Lord's name. Amen. What a great week we had this past week. What an absolutely great week we had at Vacation Bible School. There were kids everywhere. It was amazing. And so many people volunteering, so many servant opportunities for so many people to come and do what Deuteronomy teaches us to do, which is to teach this story to our children and our children's children. It was an absolutely beautiful sight. And I want to thank the leadership. I want to thank everyone who came and worked so hard. And I want to thank Katie for all of her leadership. Let us express our appreciation to all of them. And I also ask that you will keep in your prayers Wayne and the van loads of youth who left this morning to go and serve in Christ's name and to serve in your name, representing this church. And so we are so proud of them for going and working in the mountains and serving Christ through love, through work, through sweat. And we are so proud of them. And it was such a neat week at Vacation Bible School. And during this week, I taught a class on Ephesians. Monday through Wednesday, we were in here learning about Ephesians. And Paul, we call it the letter to the Ephesians, but actually it was really a circular letter that went to all the churches in Asia Minor. And it was written, some say, around 62 AD when Paul was a prisoner in Rome. And then Bruce Metzger, who is one of the foremost New Testament theologians of the 20th century, who taught at Princeton Theological Seminary, edited the RSV translation. Bruce Metzger dates that about 55 AD, a little bit earlier. But what you notice in Ephesians and Colossians is how similar they are. Actually, Colossians and Ephesians have 55 verses that are identical, 55 verses that are the same. And so Colossians is more of an ad hoc letter written in the midst of a busy pastoral life. And Ephesians most likely was written while Paul was in prison, which meant he had a lot of time on his hands, right? Little joke there. Okay, we'll move on. And he had a lot of time on his hands. And so he could really craft that document and make it, you know, really good and really sophisticated. And it's a marvelous letter. And so you have this letter of Ephesians and you have this letter of Colossians that are so similar. And what you'll see in both of those letters is that there is a strong emphasis on unity, a strong emphasis on the church maintaining unity. Hear these words from Colossians. They are such beautiful words and such powerful words. Paul wrote, to clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you. So you must also forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. This past week, knowing that I would be preaching on this passage from Colossians and watching all the children running around the church, I got in my mind a memory, a commercial from the 1970s. Do you remember that commercial with Mean Joe Green? And it's such a great commercial. So here he is, this big old mountain of a man, and he comes off the field, he's going in the tunnel, he's heading to the locker room, and there's a kid holding a bottle of Coke. And of course it looks refreshing, of course. And so there he is holding this bottle of Coke. And Mean Joe Green, he's limping along from a tough game. And the kid goes, Mr. Green, can I help you? No, kid, no, I'm fine. And he limps on toward the locker room. And the kid goes, ah, Mr. Green, I just think you're amazing. You're the best ever. And he's like, thanks, kid, thanks. And he just kind of hobbles toward the locker room. And then he goes, Mr. Green, would you like a sip of my Coke? And Mr. Green looks at him, no, kid. And the kid perseveres and insists. And so, of course, knowing that he's not going to get rid of this kid any other way, he takes a sip of the Coke, but it's so refreshing, he drinks the whole thing, right? And so he's drunk the whole bottle of Coke. He has this look of refreshment on his face. A smile comes across his face. He says, thanks to the kid. And the kid's about to turn and go away. And then he goes, hey, kid. And he throws him his jersey. And then, of course, the kid's face looks like Christmas and just totally lit up. It is a sweet, sweet commercial. And when I hear these words from Colossians, I feel a little bit like, you know, someone just threw me a jersey. And can't you imagine that kid when he took that jersey home? He put it on, and it really was kind of like a dress, wasn't it? Because it probably went right down to the floor and totally enveloped him. And I feel like when I read Colossians, I feel a little that way. I feel like, man, it doesn't fit. It's too roomy. It's too big. It's too much that Paul's expecting of me. Paul is just expecting too much of me. There's just too much there. To clothe myself with compassion and kindness and meekness, humility and patience. I like how the different translations translate this. The NRSV says, clothe yourselves. The King James Version and the ESV says, to put on. And the Message by Eugene Peterson states, dress in the wardrobe that God picked out for you. Whatever else you wear, wear love. It's your basic, all-purpose garment. I'm a little overwhelmed by Paul's words to the Colossians. If he had just chosen one thing, I feel like I could work on one thing, right? I mean, if he had just said, okay, you know, work on kindness. Well, that doesn't come natural for me, but I could work on it, right? I mean, you know, I could work on that. Or if he said, work on humility. Okay, that will be harder, but I'll try, right? That'll be a stretch, but I'll try. If Paul said, work on patience. Rhonda right over there, she's about to break out laughing. Work on patience. You know, have you ever seen those people in Walmart, and they're standing in line, and they're doing this? You ever seen that? I think they're such underachievers. Because when I'm there, I'm doing this. I'm doing foot and fingers. I am just like, come on now. I am not going to wait in this line anymore. Come on now. And of course, Rhonda, she struggles with the word kindness, because in that moment when I'm doing this, she wants to hit me. If Paul had just said one of those things, okay, I could do that, but all of them? All of them? I feel like it's just a jersey that I can't fit into, and it just traipses all the way down to the floor. It's a struggle. It's a struggle to clothe ourselves with compassion and kindness and humility and meekness and patience and forgiveness, and most of all, with love. It's no small order that you gave us, Paul. And not only do I know that I struggle with it, I know that you all struggle with it. I know you all struggle with it because I've seen your Facebook pages. Sorry, a little humor there. We'll move on. I've seen your Facebook pages. I know that you all struggle with sometimes with charity and kindness and compassion. And you know who else struggles? Our nation struggles. I mean, you listen to the rhetoric coming out of Washington or Raleigh, and it's unkind. It is absolutely unkind what people are saying about each other. They're entering into these disputes like it's a winner-take-all, and that they have to totally vanquish the other person rather than what is the best interest of public policy. That's not right. That's not what Paul is calling us to. That is not the life that we are called to as Christians. Our nation is struggling so much with this. Struggling, wondering, how do we have disagreements with each other and still honor the other person? How do we do that? It is a struggle. And in this land that we live in, civility has taken a nosedive. Civility has taken a dive. And while all this toxicity gets spewed, the children are watching. The children are watching. In your homes, the children and the grandchildren are watching. They're listening to your words. They're listening to the words that you're saying about the principal. They're listening to the words that you're saying about the teacher. They're listening to the words that you're saying about church leaders or coaches or town and county officials. If you don't model respect for authority in your homes, how do you expect one day that your children and your grandchildren will respect authority? If you don't model respect for authority in your words and in your deeds, in your conversation, How do you expect your children and your grandchildren to respect authority? How do you expect them to learn? And since I'm on the topic, let me just take it one more step. And let me just say that the church, the United Methodist Church, the denomination, is not doing well on this. After General Conference and after Annual Conference, people said things that they shouldn't have said. And there was too much of this dividing us into us and them, so that if you're in my camp, you're wonderful, you think like me. But if you're in the other camp, well then, you know, something's wrong with you. You're just not thinking right. You just don't see things like they need to be seen. There's too much of us versus them. And there's not enough of us striving to be the people that God calls us to be. How important is the theme in Ephesians and Colossians to maintain the unity of the church? You know, in the communities that we belong to, people are struggling with this. You see them struggling on Facebook. You see them struggling on other forms of social media. People aren't doing well with this about clothing yourself with compassion and kindness and meekness and humility and patience and forgiveness and love. You know what it looks like a lot of people are clothing themselves with is hostility and name-calling, ridiculing, and demeaning others. I'm afraid the line from the cartoon is truer than we wish it were true. I'm afraid the line from the cartoon speaks volumes. We have met the enemy, and he is us. We have met the enemy, and he is us. I've been thinking a lot lately about Augustine. You know, Augustine, that 4th century church theologian, I just love Augustine. You know, it was Augustine who said, "Our hearts are restless, O Lord, until they find rest in thee." I love Augustine. I love his work. And you know, that 4th century church father was writing that magnificent work, The City of God, while the empire crumbled, while Rome was facing ruins with the Vandals coming in and the other Germanic tribes, while Rome, the empire, was disintegrating. Augustine writes The City of God. As the empire of civility in America crumbles, the question is, how then do we live? How then do we live? The question is, are we going to remember who we are and whose we are? Are we going to allow ourselves to be taken captivity by the spirit of the age? Are we going to allow ourselves to be taken captivity by the spirit of discontentment and animosity, rudeness and meanness? Are we going to live in a world where we demand an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth? Or are we going to listen to our better angels and rise above that and strive for something so totally different, something that God calls us to strive toward, to clothe ourselves with compassion, and with kindness, and with humility, and with meekness, and with patience, and with forgiveness, and with love. Now, I have to be honest with you and say that this is all a struggle for me. This is not easy for me, and especially when I'm driving in my car by myself. That's not easy for me at all, right? Somebody cuts me off, I need to have this sermon close by. Somebody cuts me off, I need to have this sermon close by and read it, because the first thing in my mind is not, "Oh, gentle Jesus, oh, gentle Savior." First thing that comes to my mind is Bruce Coburn's song, "If I Had a Rocket Launcher." There's nothing easy about any of this. Nothing easy at all. God is asking us to deny our natural self, our natural instincts, and rise above that and aspire for transformation by the power of God. One day I was driving my car down the highway, and I saw a license plate. And, you know, it was abbreviated, so, you know, it didn't spell out U-Y-O-U. It just used U because you've only got so much space. And the license plate said, "You need to be you." And I read that, and I said, "No! You don't need to be you." I mean, remember, Wesley had a little bit higher value on this than Calvin, but remember what Calvin said about human nature, totally depraved. You don't need to be you and dig down into your humanity, which is fallen, which is broken. You need to be something different. And what I liked, what I would have preferred the license plate to say, now this would require the NCDMV to make a bigger plate, but I think it's worth it. I think it's worth it. I think what it needed to say is you need to be who God calls you to be. You need to be who God calls you to be. Tony Campolo told the story of a Marine recruit at Paris Island. And you know how those kind of barracks can be. There was a lot of machismo in that barracks, a lot of rough and tumble guys. And there was just this one guy who didn't fit in. He was the guy that just kind of stood out and didn't blend in and didn't fit in with them. And all of a sudden, they started to pick on him. They started making fun of him. He became the butt end of all the jokes. And they just started to ridicule him and make his life miserable. One day they said, "You know what would be really funny? What would be really funny is if we took a hand grenade and we disarmed it. And then we threw that hand grenade into the middle of the room. And let's watch the nerd jump out the window. Let's watch the oddball scream as he jumps out the window." So everyone's in on it except for this guy. And so that's exactly what they do. They throw this grenade in the middle of the room. They all run and scream and yell. And the guy that they call the oddball, he jumps on the grenade and puts his body around it and folds around it, yelling to them, "Get out, get out, get out." And then all of a sudden the acting stopped, and they were stunned to silence. They were stunned to silence because they saw what true courage is. God calls us not to be who we are, but to grow into who God calls us to be, practicing compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, forgiveness, and always, always putting on the garment of love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.